Hey guys, welcome back. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio, as you may remember if you've been here before. This is called Lost Arts Radio Live. This is a show for February 8th, 2020, in case you're watching it as an archive. Hope that your week has gone well, whatever part of the world you might be in. And I just want to mention before I forget that if you're watching on one of the major platforms, especially one of the ones that starts with U or face, just in case you have any idea what I'm referring to, you might want to bookmark our site on brighteon.com. In case you can't find us here, it doesn't mean that we're gone completely. It may just mean that we're on platforms that are not trying to get rid of people like that. And our channel, which you can now subscribe to on Brighteon, is brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. And you can bookmark that and make it easy to get back to. Definitely need support even aside from Lost Arts Radio. If you just watch things on brighteon.com, it gives them more traffic and makes it easier for them to grow. So I recommend that. Because of the material that we're covering, you definitely want to be in touch there. And also want to get on our mailing list at lostartsradio.com, which you can do on the site, lostartsradio.com. Or send an email to info@lostartsradio.com with a name and an email address. And if it gets to the situation where it's the only way we can get information to you, that would be nice to have for embedded videos or other news-related items that we want to share with you. You can also text a name and an email address to make it easy to get on there at 928-235-4676. And also remember planetaryhealingclub.com, which was purposely set up on a platform that is less vulnerable to censorship. And that's where we can talk really freely, interactive. You know, you guys can communicate with me live on planetaryhealingclub.com on the weekly meetings. Those are Saturdays, about half an hour. They start about half an hour after this one is over. Good thing to know about, because we can talk about anything you want on that particular platform. And we usually go for anywhere up to 3 hours, depending on how much we've got to talk about. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. But that's especially made for people that want to be in a group that's working on implementing some of the things we talk about. And what's unusual, I guess, in a way, is that we're putting forward the idea that if you really want to make a contribution to the world, your best contribution, whether you're working, you know, in your house, just taking care of your family or kids or with friends or at work in a job or digging ditches or in school or whatever you're doing, the impact of your contribution in your interaction with other people depends on your internal state. And I know that that's not commonly known, but hopefully the people watching this will have an idea of what I'm talking about. There are ways to make everything you do far more effective and more powerful. And that's what Lost Arts Radio Project is about in general. But Planetary Healing Club is where we actually get into working on those things, transforming lives for people that are interested in that. And I'm talking about everything from health issues on up to psychological, emotional, mental, relationship-based stuff, all anything that affects your life quality. It's all coming back to the origin of consciousness. And most people, most of us really don't have an idea what that is, because we're products of our great educational system and media, whose job is to keep us totally out of touch with ourselves. And if we're out of touch with ourselves, we're not going to really have a clear perspective on anything else. So if you want to do the work involved to get back to, you know, away from where we're being led, which is hypnotized zombie world, back to self-awareness and a centered kind of stable internal state, so that you can have a better effect on what you want to contribute to the world, you can join us if you want to. You're personally invited at planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you have questions, whether that's worth your time or not, just email them in anytime, richard@lostartsradio.com. And I'll tell you, because people that aren't ready to do that level of work, it's probably not really worth their time to show up every week. And, if you're wanting to transform life quality, it could be worth it very much. And if you need more help than that, occasionally I'll do private sessions, and you can email me to ask about that. There's another site that we have, lostartsresearchinstitute.org, and there's a tab on there that says private sessions that tells you more about that. There's also one that tells you about the school that we'd like to build if we get enough funding for that, and that's at Eldemar. That's a tab on lostartsresearchinstitute.org. You might find that interesting. It is an elven name. There's a lot of depth behind it. Anyway, we're going to have a guest that I was hoping would join us today, David Dubine, and we're going to talk about the developing situation with the virus in China that's spreading to, last I heard, more than 28 countries around the world. And it's a pretty serious situation, and it's being covered up by not only the Chinese government, but by our media in America and most of the world, and by the medical agencies as well, including the top ones that are supranational, that many of these countries are members of. And the president in the U.S. is, I think, surrounded by horrible advisors that have his destruction in mind. And he doesn't know it. He hires people that are his own enemies all the time. It's not because he's a masochist who wants to suffer. It's because people think he's either really terrible or really great and knows everything. And neither one is true. Clearly, if you really have a clear perspective on what's going on, he's done so many things against the deep state that it's clear he's not working for them, because he's giving them a horrible time. But there's huge areas of ignorance that, you know, the Q people and other, Trump devotees will tell you, no, it's 27-dimensional chess or something, and he's aware of all this stuff, and he's going to get it all done. Well, no, there's a lot he hasn't gotten done at all. And it's not malice. Clearly, it's massive ignorance and naivete, in my opinion. And a lot of people will say, Richard, you're crazy for that. He's obviously evil, but that's clearly not true from what's going on. However, he's got advisors that he trusts, which is not an intelligent thing to trust them, and they're leading him in the wrong direction. And I think wanting this virus thing to spread all over the place, and he still believes in them. He believes in military leaders, many of whom have, you know, there's some great ones, really good people, but there's also some really bad ones that are still around him. And he believes in what he calls great companies, which are these giant corporations that make a lot of money, many of which are suicidal for the planet. And he doesn't appear to know that at all. It's not that he's trying to do it to somebody else. He eats the food they produce and everything else. He's, you know, sorry, but it's clear that he just doesn't know a lot. The reason they want to kill him is because with his attitude, if he finds out, which they're trying to prevent, what's going on, he would probably jump on it right away. He's clearly willing to risk his life to try to help the country, but he doesn't know about so many things. And I think he's probably not getting the full story on what's going on with this engineered bioweapon virus that we're talking about, that is called a crazy conspiracy theory. It's not. There's some great videos out by Francis Boyle, who's been on our show before, on the Sunday show. Great, just regular person, real scientist, professor, law professor, who is willing to be honest and look into things and say what they are. He actually wrote the Convention on Bioweapons. That there's a long story to that, but beyond what he says about the legal situation and the fact that we know it's an engineered bioweapon at this point, the countermeasures that were given by the health medical industry to prevent it and to cure it are, according to Mike, and I agree with him, very likely to be as dangerous or as dangerous as the weapon itself. So this is a tricky situation, and what I wanted to do is get on our friend David Dubine, who's been in Taiwan until the last few days, and ask him what's going on there, because as they lock down more giant cities in mainland China, A lot of them are running to Hong Kong, which is getting closer to Taiwan. And it's really unfortunate for Hong Kong because I don't think they're allowing people to say the natural, most likely effective remedies for this kind of a situation. And people who promote them, even though they're totally effective and harmless, those people are getting banned. That's why I started out the show saying, Brighteon.com, Brighteon.com, don't forget. Don't put it off till later. And they think, where did those guys go? What happened to Lost Arts Radio? It used to be here. It'll still be here, just on Brighteon and on our site, lostartsradio.com, as long as we can. So with that as a backdrop, let's see if we can do the technological stuff here to add David. Worked with another guest last week. Let's see if we can do it. Wonder if this is the right connection here. Okay, supposedly it's adding him. We'll know in just a second. This is a very advanced, super high-tech platform. It's called Skype. You may have heard of it. And it's good when it works. It's claiming that David joined the... Are you there, David?
I am here. I certainly am.
Wonderful.
I'm trying to turn on some video for you. I'm trying to get the video turned on at the moment.
Okay.
Have camera plugged in. I retested it. Everything's good, but there we go. Can you see me?
Not yet. I can imagine your picture, but I can't see it yet.
Okay. It should be showing right about now.
Yeah, I think it's about to come in. There you are. Good. Excellent. Welcome. Thanks for coming on. I'm really glad to see you again. And why don't you tell people why you know anything about Taiwan and when you were there and, you know, the general background situation so we can get into what you observed when you were over there and communication since you left and that sort of thing.
Right. My name is David Dubai and I run the Adapt 2030 channel on YouTube. I've lived in Taiwan for years, and I base myself there because it's in a central place. If you want to go to Europe, if you want to come back to the U.S., it's kind of right in that center spot. And there's so much opportunity. If you haven't seen the shift to Asia and manufacturing and business opportunities, maybe you missed the ball on that one. But I was there working in China in 2003. And from that point, I just stayed in Asia. But I found better destinations to live in, such as Taiwan. The things have progressed quickly to the point that Hong Kong's been shut off now. So the news from Taiwan today is no more Hong Kong visas, no more Hong Kong flights. But what that means for people trying to get out of there is Cathay Pacific routes are cut off. But a lot of Cathay Pacific routes would come from Hong Kong, stop in Taiwan, go up to maybe Japan or Korea, and then you could get another flight out. And my personal experience was when you look on Skyscanner or another kind of flight app that you can find and it compares flight data and prices for you.
Uh-huh.
Normally, we would see around 1,200 flight choices anywhere out of Taiwan because Taiwan's a major hub in Asia, if you didn't know that, for air transportation. But as of late, there's less than 300 choices at the moment, 300 approximate flights. Now, with the cutoff of Cathay Pacific, even when I was there just a few days ago trying to get out to come back for some family ordeals here, the next step up for your economy ticket was $2,000, about $1,800 to $2,000. Airlines just aren't going out to Asia any longer.
Right.
And with the cutoff of the Cathay Pacific routes, I mean, what's left? You have Korean Airlines, some Japanese airlines coming out of there. And unless they're directly going back to the U.S. or they're directly going to Europe, you're cut off from leaving the island. So,
right. I think there's something I should have said just to let people know more about the importance of what you're detailing right now. And that is, sometimes I forget this. There are people who have no idea what's going on because they're really well-versed in what the major mainstream media is saying. And in America, for example, and many other places, everything's fine, nothing's going on. So let me just do a one-minute recap of the situation we're referring to and what David's talking about and why airline flight traffic changes matter. There was a virus outbreak in Wuhan province. Actually, Wuhan is the major city in Hubei province, right? I got that wrong.
And, well, that's right.
And it's kind of like a flu slash pneumonia thing. And usually when these outbreaks, so-called, are publicized and there's a big hype about them, they're nothing. And they're trying to get everybody panicked and, you know, to take extra injections and whatever the powers that be tell you to do. In this case, it was different. There was a lot of private journalism output from the Wuhan area, that city, and the general area, showing people just walking along and then falling over, and they couldn't even break their fall. It wasn't like they started having trouble breathing, because you would kind of get down on your knees and, you know, the gradual falling in that kind of case. They just fell over on their face and didn't move. That's not normal, and that's not a flu symptom. And so it was obvious that something very unusual was happening. The media said, oh yeah, somebody went to the seafood market, so-called, and they ate some snakes and bats. And it must have been from that. And later it was confirmed that it had nothing to do with that. It came to that market from somewhere else. Close to there is a BSL-4 facility, which is a biosafety level 4. That's where they work on trying to make viruses as dangerous and deadly as possible for the great industry of biological warfare, so that people can wipe out the world and show that they're the toughest country. You know, it's a great project. And according to the honest scientist that we've heard recently, Francis Boyle, who's been on our show too, he said that scientifically analyzing the DNA from the virus, there's no chance that it came from any seafood market. It's got segments in it that are artificial. It's basically flu plus pneumonia plus SARS plus HIV delivery system and a few other things. And then what they call a gain of function attribute that is part of the work of these BSL-4 labs funded by Gates and a lot of other friendly people that are trying to do this, of course, for our benefit. And it's spreading now. It was let out probably by mistake, but I don't know that 100% for sure. And it's spreading to like 25, 28 countries now. And there are probably, we've had input from Dr. Cousins and Dr. Circus and others that have outlined natural treatments with no harm, but they're saying they want to use drugs and develop, they've got a vaccine that's patented like the virus is patented. These are patented viruses, if you can imagine that. I mean, that should not exist. But and Dr. Boyle said you should shut down all the BSL 3 and 4 labs immediately. So it's against that backdrop of a spreading, covered up pandemic that this time is real, from everything we can see, that David is talking about what's happening to air traffic. And I think, you know, sorry for the delay, but that'll get people more into the importance of what you're saying.
Well, I'd like to take it another step further. You know, once they develop these types of bioweapons, what they do is then go in and create the vaccines for them. So if your troops are going to be, you know, immune to that, if it's unleashed on another army, then you already have the vaccine. So first you have to create the virus and they create the vaccine. And then whoever's army has that vaccine can then unleash it on the planet. I'm more on the supply chain side, the breakdown of supply chain. That would be air, rail, ship, and trucking.
And that happens because they tell people to stay home to quarantine, right?
Right. But then the human interest part of it is exactly what happens when the breakdown of a society, like we've seen China devolve from what you remember it as, and one of the high apexes of our world civilization, into a complete destruction of a society in under 10 days, where laws of the jungle rule and those with weapons control others who have none. You're at the behest of gangs of police and army that round you up, and it's a political purge as well. The people, now let's do a little, you know, since you took me back, let me take others back here.
Yeah.
In 2019, Wuhan had the largest protest in China outside of Hong Kong. That's because the Chinese government wanted to build a number of trash burning power plants. And the, you know, the pollution from those types of things is released, and it's in the neighborhoods and around the city. So the largest protest of the year. And what has happened is anybody who was involved with organizing the protest has been rounded up under the guise of quarantine. They're never seen from again. I am personally saying this is another political purge merged with some sort of mitigation or quarantine measures, that the justice of the new cultural revolution is being wielded at this iron pipe level of anybody who was organizing online. And, you know, as I watch through these videos across the net, one thing I'm noticing is that the response for anybody who is not wearing a mask, that the government said you have to wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, you'll be arrested.
Okay.
But I mean, the response of 7 or 8 police officers jumping on people and beating them and throwing them in vans, you know they're going to disappear. If you don't kowtow 100% to the state, or you're not working with the state at least 100%, you're going to end up in, you're going to be a casualty of the quarantine. And they're going to make people disappear left, right, and center, and it's already happening. It's a political purge. And anybody who does not work with the system 100%, kowtowing 100% to the party's wishes by just as something as simple as wearing a mask. Forget the political protests and the political organizations of getting the people to protest. It's so far beyond Orwellian what's happening over there. It's actually, I believe it's the beginning of a new campaign to purge the entire country of any dissidents, of any non-believers, even 1% of non-belief to the system. You will be purged. And when I say that, you will be executed and your body cremated. Watch this. At the end of it, there's going to be millions taken away during this political purge under the guise of the quarantine. Call me crazy, run me through the muck, whatever you want to say, but that is exactly what's happening.
Well, you're not saying you're not saying there's no virus. You're just saying it's a dual purpose quarantine, right?
It's a dual purpose quarantine. They're doing both at the same time. And don't kid yourself if you don't think that might happen in the United States. Don't kid yourself at all.
Right.
The things I've seen, the behavior that people have turned into within weeks. No food, no water. The police running amok with no oversight whatsoever. The army able to do whatever they want. You see them breaking in and looting the medical warehouse supplies. They're breaking it off. They're selling it. They're taking it out, looting with stolen trucks to go in and loot then a warehouse. You're seeing it again and again and again. Like, the rule of law is actually non-existent. It is the rule of the jungle that is taking place there. And those with the weapons are the ones in control. Those of you who want to take our guns away, take a look at what's happening in China right now. And look how fast this thing is going to sweep through our nation and the rest of the planet. We are so unprepared for this.
So what's the difference in situation right now between mainland China and Taiwan?
Well, Taiwan has their own independent government outside Chinese control that is now saying no more Chinese come in at all. Well, you know, luckily, think about where I was at in Taiwan. Just by stroke of luck or fate or coincidence, whatever you want to call it, about 6 months ago, the Chinese government said no more tour groups go to Taiwan because of a political spat. But then the individual travelers, knowing that their credit score, their social credit score would be lowered if they traveled individually to Taiwan, of course, they followed what the government said, the tourist groups. So there was actually very few, if almost no Chinese came during Chinese New Year, when everybody left after the Wuhan virus was really exploding and everybody tried to get out of there. Before they locked the city down, you had Chinese New Year travelers all over the planet. Then they tried to lock the city down, and they did. The 5 million people got out. Luckily, there were no Chinese.
Wuhan, right?
Yeah, I was talking about Wuhan. Now, you got to realize Shenzhen's getting locked down today. But again, they did the same thing. They gave like 8 hours advance warning. In 1 hour, 250,000 people poured across the border into Hong Kong. Like, none of them were sick. No health screening. Yeah, sure. Right. So what do you think is going to happen in Hong Kong right now? They got almost 1 million people trying to scream over the border. They're trying to lock it up. People are swimming across the river. It's cold. They're trying to jump through the water, come up over the fences. People are using blankets and mattresses and anything they can to get over the fences. It's out of control now in Shenzhen. I mean, they're trying to lock down another 100 million people today. So if I'm anywhere close, within the next 72 hours, you will see the total of 500 million people under quarantine in China. And this whole overrunning of the Hong Kong border because you got to realize the border with Hong Kong, it's not like a huge, gigantic, 100-foot deep river that's 500 feet wide. The thing's like about this wide and about this deep, and it's just a canal, basically, and you can easily get across that. It's just right. The fence on the other side that you need to overcome.
And the attitude in Hong Kong with freedom and tyranny and things like those issues is really different from in mainland China, right? Which came out completely. Recently, right? All the protests and everything that were happening there.
Yeah. And another thing that I was given some information. Now, again, I'm just going to tell what I was given as information. I'm just going to give it out there. I'm not saying true, not true. It's unsubstantiated until this point. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the flights, now, true fact, when Wuhan was being locked down in the very beginning, we have to go back into just last month, in the flights that were allowed to go out of Wuhan were all directed to Hong Kong. What was told to me is the reason that happened is to infect Hong Kong as much as they could. Right. So when Hong Kong gets really infected, like it's starting now, I mean, mass infections, quarantines, people dropping dead on the streets in Hong Kong. When this happens, the Chinese military is going to go in there to help with the contagion. And once they're there and stationed on the streets, they're never coming out. Like if they were going to do in the Hong Kong protests like 2 or 3 months ago, and their garrison was going to empty out with 10,000 PLA troops into the streets, every country in the world would have cut off trade with them in about a nanosecond.
Right.
But now if the whole city's dying and there's hundreds of thousands, millions of people sick, collapsing on the streets, the Chinese military, it's humanitarian, and they're never leaving when that happens. Hong Kong has fallen. Hong Kong and China, the way you know it now, will never be the same again. It's going to take decades for this to recover out of there. Decades. Yeah.
Well, and Taiwan, you know, is separated by some ocean, right? It's a little bit more... has a barrier, natural barrier there, but the question that would immediately come up if they cut off their flights is how self-sufficient are they? And I don't think they're very self-sufficient. I'm just guessing. You'd probably know more than I do on that.
And you know, it makes me feel sad. I left and there's so many people who are going to be stuck there. 98% of everything they need to keep their lives going is imported daily. That includes oil, food, medicines. Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the container shipping, you're watching the container shipping just completely dry up. So just a distant early warning for any of you out there, forget the virus, forget everything else. Business. The entire supply chain coming out of China has locked up to the point where whatever's on the boats coming over to whatever country it is, continent it is, that's the last there will be for months and months and months. So a lot of people aren't thinking about it like, well, I'm not getting food from China. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But you know, 90% of the world's belt drives, the things that make the fans spin in an engine, the things that make alternators spin in motors to get the cars, trucks to move, 90% of that's produced in China. So how many belts and, you know, break per day? And when is our transportation system going to be affected because of the lack of repair parts for motors, electronics, and these types of things moving forward? The simplest thing, a belt in a motor, is not 90% of that comes from China. And everybody's scurrying already to go up to Canada because they're the second largest producer. And, you know, people that need different high pressure washer component parts and anything else in between, they're all scrambling now to get secondary, tertiary supply, which is going to dry up in about a fifth of a second. Because,
what this brings up, among many things, is that there's been a longstanding argument about so-called protectionism. But that's a misleading term. And what it really means is a country trying to be as self-sufficient as it can. And if it doesn't have tariffs that are some kind of an economic barrier with countries that have slave labor, then that country has no national security. And I think you're talking about that being demonstrated.
Well, we're going to see the dependence on China that's been set up for the last 20 years is going to come back to bite us in the rear end at about 3-2-1 right now. And you know, just the reason I have this stuff behind me here is a real case study. These are the things that disappeared first out of the supermarkets in Taiwan and China and the Philippines and Hong Kong and Japan and Korea and everywhere in Asia. It's all gone. There's none left. And there's
they moved all the manufacturing to mainland China, I guess, right?
Yeah, and it all locked up, right? So Carrefour still has some individual ships coming over, so that's lucky that their own supply chain with their own ships for Carrefour supermarkets is coming over. And then also there'll be some deliveries from the States and some minor deliveries. But as soon as they get there with the shortages that are already happening, that'll be gobbled up. I mean, the minute it hits the dock, it'll be gobbled up.
Yeah.
And just a quick fact, in Taiwan, you need to show your national ID card and you get 2 masks per week. And that would be these kind right here. You get 2 masks per week. And these are medical, you know, just a surgical mask. Nothing super good like the N95s here that we got. I bought these because of the Australian fires, not because of this. Because I thought, you know what? What if there is smoke or a volcanic eruption? You know, like the one down that was happening in the Philippines, you know, get ready for emergencies. Another thing here. All the antibacterial hand soap and laundry detergent is completely sold out. You can't find it to save your life. That's understandable because you want to wash the virus and you want to wash all the whatever contaminants off your clothes. Another thing, rubbing alcohol, you cannot find anywhere. So they're finding that the virus will be killed at 75% and above. So this one here, what's that, 91% will definitely do the job mixed with water. And the spray bottles, just regular, you know, 25, 50 cent spray bottle, they're all gone. You can't find one.
Right.
Anything that's a handy wipe that could, you know, kill viruses or bacteria, anything Cloroxy, any kind of wipes, and forget the name brand, just brand of stuff that'll kill viruses with wipes, you cannot find it. It's completely gone. And then, you know, again, this is a thing. It's another ration thing. You have to show your ID card to get 1 bottle of Clorox if they get it in. Again, they've already put the law in place. You have to show your Clorox. 1 bottle per family per week is all you're going to get, if you can even get it. But I came back, you know, I've been living through those shortages over there. And the dried goods, like these beans, for example, here, I got a thing of pinto beans, cost me a couple bucks. You can sprout these. You can cook them. All the long-term stuff's gone. All the rice, all the beans, everything's gone. The pastas, the pasta sauce, it's all gone out of the supermarket. This is in Taiwan before they're having real shortages. Like, everything is stripped bare, completely bare in China. There's nothing left there. Hong Kong is like ravaging locusts going. There's nothing left. Nothing. And China or Taiwan's experiencing the same thing. And, you know, I come back here and these supermarkets are totally stocked. I'm like, dude, this is going to my car. This is my going to my, you know. It really freaked me out being there and coming back here.
Really freaked me out. Also, on American TV, everything's fine.
It's not fine. It's so far from fine, you have no idea that it's not fine at all.
No, I know that. But I mean, I'm saying the image on TV, I don't know if you've seen it. I don't have a TV, but I've seen it other places, and everything's fine. Just, it's a very strange scenario. But
it is.
I think,
and then,
you're really demonstrating that why countries are supposed to be self-sufficient and why a wise leader of a country would emphasize as many self-sufficient farms and gardens and small shops and things like that as possible, because that's national security for the population, right?
Yeah, it is, because, you know, I feel bad for the Chinese people and those in Hong Kong, because how many millions are going to starve to death, a slow death, stuck in their homes, no food, you know, breathing the chemical sprays every day.
Not to mention the quarantine cities. I mean, those are
That's what I'm talking about.
It's unimaginable.
In those cities, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, they're talking about turning the water off in a couple of the cities because they found the virus is transmitting through the water because whatever happened for the city's water source got contaminated. So now they're talking about turning off the water supplies to cities. I mean, you got 3 days with no water. And I mean, even if you had extra water and you're sitting in there, I mean, how much extra water? What if you had two weeks or a week of extra water? All that's going to do is prolong everything for another week while they watch everybody die around them. I mean,
yeah, this is like some kind of a horror movie scenario that is hard to grasp, I think, for most people.
Yeah, I'm kind of numb, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So are you planning to stay here for a while? Are you leaving again? What's your agenda?
I'm going to ride it out here. You can't go back. There's nowhere to go back to. You can't, if you could get back, but then B, you're going to, you know, you're putting yourself in bodily risk by going back as well, too. I mean, there's no food.
Right.
The food's run out. The shortages, the gang mentality that's over there. The society completely has dissolved in China to the point now when these mass amounts of people are over in Hong Kong over the next couple of days, you could see the desperation there too, with the run out of everything in the shops, how people are going to behave there too.
Yeah.
Just me,
at the least, everybody should have been taught about sprouting, and you know, that's probably the, like you mentioned, that's the easiest storable food to get, and it lasts for 10 years without going bad or more. They're not taught about that. They're talking about chemical medicines and, you know, chemically grown food and things that are not going to do well that way. And when there was the Ebola release, the patented Ebola strain was released from a lab in West Africa, and they probably said it was from some insect or something. It was, the government had done this study that was classified. Remember Brighteon.com, guys. This is really, you know, a strange move of mine to talk about this stuff openly, but I think I have to. When they did the fake Ebola release and said it was this big emergency, and WHO was saying, please, governments, try anything you can. Experiment with every possible medicine. We have to help the people, right? So a doctor friend of ours said, oh, we found this previously classified study where the Defense Department proved that nanosilver at 10 parts per million just totally wiped out Ebola, way better than any kind of disinfectant or antiviral or anything like that would do. And the other thing is, there's no danger at all. You could drink it and it doesn't make any difference except to the virus. It doesn't kill the good stuff in your body. WHO said that's blocked. They called the airline, told them not to ship it to West Africa, to the airline to warehouse it indefinitely. And they told the leaders of those countries, if you do any experimenting with this, after they told them to experiment with everything in the world, forget your loans. I mean, you guys are dead. And so they had to be taken over privately. But I suspect it's similar. I don't know what to do about the food and water supplies and things, but the remedies, the natural ones, are simple. And they're really powerful, and they have no downside. And it's illegal to say that. Like in Samoa recently, where they had this manufactured measles crisis, and everybody had to get injected involuntarily, and they would barricade people in their houses and tell them to put a white flag if they hadn't had all the injections. And this one lady tried to say, no, these vitamins will stop it. You won't even get sick if you have these vitamins. And they put her in jail. That, you know, those things are working together. Sorry to interrupt, but I think there are similarities.
Well, that is, you know, in these types of, you know, colloidal silver, that's going to run out if you're going to be ordering it online somewhere or going into a market. Once this panic ensues in the United States, everything is going to get sold out. So I'm suggesting that you would buy these things now.
Because that would be a good idea.
The human behavior that I witnessed over in Asia, the hoarding mentality, or just the fear and it's not even, it was terror of dying a horrible death, drove people to do and buy and do. Something snapped in the human psyche over there.
Uh-huh.
And you got to get what you can now, because it's going to sell out really fast if you don't get it now. It's really going to sell out fast. And that, you know, Kamu is another one. You know, keeping the vitamin C as high as you can in your body, just natural.
Kamu is a source. Great one. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how much is Amazon at stock?
You know? Ground up rose hips are good too.
Yeah, there's a lot of these, you know, and then and target the ones that are anti-HIV as well. You know, antivirals and anti-HIVs like olive leaf. If you go in there, it has a huge compound against HIV and against virals. So if you're starting to layer these up, and you got the antivirals, the anti-HIVs, incredibly boosted vitamin C, and then you got the colloidal silvers coming in, you know, you're just trying to get everything at maximum immune boosted as possibly high as you can. Because elderberry too. Yeah. And if you can get that where nothing can stick to you first, you won't get the sickness. But then it's going to be the forced vaccines or the quarantines or, you know, like, man, there's a lot of real hard choices coming up for the American people in a few minutes, I'm telling you right now.
When the injections start killing people, they're going to say it wasn't fast enough and they have to give more. That'll be the kind of circular thinking that's provided. And, you know, it brings up so many issues. One is like the misnamed protectionism that we talked about. Every country should be totally 100% protectionist, because protecting good things is not a crime. It's a really good thing to do. I mean, common sense is just gone. But natural information on natural preventives and things like that that have no damaging effect at all is great. And the idea, you know, in America, they have what's called a constitution. I think you've probably heard of it. And there were things preceding it in the Declaration of Independence. And they explained everybody in the world, not just Americans, but everybody has all the same rights. And they don't come from your country. They come from God and nature. And that you have them, I think, before you're born, just as soon as you exist. And the founders of America that didn't live up to it completely, but at least, you know, foresaw that this is wise, they should have added, and by the way, God doesn't take your rights away when there's a declared emergency. They're permanent, and they're 100% all the time. And governments think all they have to do is say, okay, well, we really appreciate your rights, but we just have to take them away right now because there's an emergency, and we'll let you know if there's ever not an emergency again. And I think that's what they have in mind to do.
And another thing, when I say that, you know, Americans are going to have to make some very difficult choices that are going to stay with them the rest of their lives these next month or so. What's happening in China now is they're going door to door with every family and every house and every apartment across the nation with army and armed military and armed police to do the surveys. And if even one person in your home is sick, they're going to drag you out of there.
A thermometer, right? A remote thermometer kind of thing.
Right. But these people, they're not cleansing themselves when they go to your home and then, you know, they try to come to my house and then my house. So yeah. For those of you out there, you're going to have to do your own kind of quarantine station. So if anybody comes to your home, you're like, you're going to sit down and we're going to disinfect you first before you talk to us. And what's going to happen when they try to rip you out of your homes or rip your family apart out of your homes and you guys aren't really sick? What's going to happen then? Because what I see, it's a political purge happening in China at the same time. Right. And they're not nice. These police and army are so incredibly hard pipe hitting when they go in to do these tasks. So I'm just wondering when they themselves are going to get sick, because at 500 million people quarantined, eventually there's just not going to be enough army and not enough military to even control even just a fraction of the city. So I'm wondering where they're going to get this like rollover point where there's no longer enough loyal, you know, armed law enforcement types across the country that can even enforce anything anymore, because people are starting to wake up quickly that they need to fight back or they're going to be taken away literally in the middle of the night, gulag style.
What you're saying is so you 500 million quarantined, that's what, a third of the population?
It will be. There's 400 million now, and I would say within 72 hours, it'll be another 100 million. They're running out of troops to control the situation. You know, I mean, if they come down to local police and then, you know, you saw what happened over at Kazakhstan, they're burning all the Chinese businesses because they don't want any infection in their country. And there, you know, a couple cases popped up in Kazakhstan. And they just started burning all the Chinese businesses. Mm. Like the xenophobia that's coming, the non-trust that's coming, the non-trust of people, the non-trust of the government, the non-trust of your neighbors. Like, they fractured everybody. Nobody trusts anybody. And now there's a bounty on sick people from Wuhan. I think it's $225, which is a lot of money in China, you know, to turn somebody in. So what they're already finding is people are just turning in their own, like, enemies of their neighborhood. You're like, oh, she cut down my tree in my yard, so I'm going to call the whatever. She's sick. And then they come by and, you know, it's a political vendetta between squirmishing individuals as well. So people are just calling in each other because they had a spat with their grandmas, like, overcharged me for some tomatoes at the market or something. Like, this kind of pettiness is where it's going to. And I don't know, it's completely, everything is broken down society-wise in that country.
Yeah, it's kind of a demonstration of how deep character goes, right? In any given society.
How deep will it go?
Recently, when you were on, we were calmly talking about the decades to come with temperature changes. And David is one of the best-known climate researchers on the planet right now, in my opinion. And we were just sitting around talking about, oh, yeah, there's this many years it's going to gradually get cooler. So these are the things you do to prepare. This has kind of changed the perspective, right? And the priority list.
Well, I think it's one and the same. You know, and Christian Westbrook over at Ice Age Farmer and myself, we totally agree on one thing. They're going to use this as an excuse to try to totally control the food supply of the planet, because with this grand solar minimum forecast coming out anyway, with the sun going into a 400-year low in solar activity, that would have is already affecting our crop production. We were saying about a year out before the true crop shortages started enough where it would actually, you know, civil unrest would unfold because of incredibly high food prices and shortages in some places, that it would just cause instability in the social order anyway. Right. That the governments would do something proactively to try to stop this. And here we are, we're seeing it right now. I'm saying that unequivocally, the release of this virus, or intentional or unintentional, whatever, the causation is going to be the same. They're going to be able to control the population from moving across the planet. They're going to be able to control the entire food supply. And then any of these measures to be able to limit your consumption. This was all planned during the grand solar minimum as well, but it seems like two birds, one stone, or this is truly the event that we were looking for that is then the precursor to the economic contraction to the point where people would lose most of their value in stocks, bonds, IRAs, savings, even if you had fiat. If you're not holding gold, silver, or crypto, you'd be losing almost everything. Is this it, really, that we're really this far down on the line where we're not going to be able to grow enough food next year to even supplement? And then, see, the cat was going to be out of the bag in 2021 anyway for most people globally. And they would start asking their governments, like, why didn't you give us time to warn? Why didn't you warn us? You knew this for 15 years, 20 years, this grand solar minimum was coming, and you kept feeding us this garbage CO2 narrative thing. And now you're telling us, oh, it's really the sun? No, oh, thanks for the warning. Right. So they didn't want any culpability because people are going to be out with the pitchforks, you know, and then suddenly this virus is here. So perfect timing.
Well, you also mentioned crypto in that list, you know, of things to be holding. And I would just point out, which I'm sure you'd probably agree with, is that crypto people are, you know, people who are keeping their wealth in that or a big part of it are betting 100% that the power on the internet stay completely functional. Because if they don't, they don't have any crypto anymore. Right? I think it's at least something to look at.
Yeah, and I'm in concurrence with that, at least on parts of the planet, but I don't believe the entire planet would go dark. There'll always be somewhere running nodes, and there'll always be somewhere with some power that can still maintain enough of the node to keep this system going.
Right, again, but if you don't have power locally, you can't access it anyway, right?
Right, that's why, you know, you should be preparing. Do you have your own power supply? Do you have any types of wind turbines or solar panels or gravitational vortex power? Have you built any of your own magnetic motors to create power? Because if you had your own power and you had let's say a ham radio, and somebody else further down signal range had access to power, you could still broadcast crypto transactions from one ham radio operator to another, handwritten, and then still get that transaction broadcast through. So think about it. We're going to go old school, almost telegraph style, but it still could be done. So the value of you having communications and a power supply makes you a new central bank in your own area, literally.
Yeah, the basic essentials of life are going to become appreciated, I guess, fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, and since you brought up power, I wanted to talk about power as well. So over in Wuhan and different in Hubei province, there's not enough people going to work and there's not enough rail delivering coal. So the power stations are running low and they've turned a couple off. Well, that's already causing power shortages in the city. So what they've done is they boosted the hydro to the highest throughput that they've ever had through the dams there. But you can only do that, A, for so long before the water level starts to decrease.
Yeah.
And then B, once that water level decreases, then you're back to like the static zero point again. And then say you get an extra 2 weeks of power out of that massive flow out of the dams. Well, when it rolls back 2 weeks later, there's even going to be more power plants offline because less people have gone to work and there's been less rail deliveries and less everything delivered. Now think about China's entire system of delivery is locked up. I mean, ED, past tense, inside the country. That includes coal. So where are the power plants going to go from this point? Like, those cities are just going to, you're going to start seeing them go dark on the satellites. Like,
well, the power plants, even if they have a lot of coal and water and whatever, that if they don't have anybody going to work, it's not going to work as well, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know, I think it would be good to stay in touch. You're going to be staying in touch, I hope, with the people in Taiwan as time goes on. And as long as you can, I mean, as well as possible. And we should try and do some periodic updates if you're up to that. And as long as we're allowed to be on the air, and we will be at least on Brighteon and Blog Talk, I think. So we'll do the best we can. And everybody, don't forget to go to Blog Talk, but also Brighteon.com and subscribe to the channel, Lost Arts Radio. Why don't you?
Could I throw a last thought in?
Yeah, that's what I was going to invite you to do, because we got a couple of minutes left.
Okay, first, I'm putting up daily updates about this virus outbreak and the economy and all these things I'm talking about today on my Patreon channel, Adapt 2030. I tried to do some updates on YouTube, but they flagged all the videos and buried them and demonetized them. So I quickly learned, don't talk about the virus and do all these updates on YouTube. But I am going to be releasing those also on Brighteon and BitChute. But also within my Patreon channel, I'm doing these updates too with videos. But my last point I really wanted to bring out, beside the self, if you want to look for more information, Adapt 2030 on YouTube. But when I was flying back, I'm going to say this is one thing. TSA and air crews and flight, anything revolved around airports, please listen to this message. When I came through the security check, great. Thank you, TSA, whatever you're doing out there. But the bins that are required in America, you need to take off your shoes and put them in the bins.
Right.
And then you got to take off your personal items, backpack, coat, whatever, sweater, and you put it in the bin behind you. And then it goes through. Well, those bins get recirculated back through. And then the bin that you were using to put your coat in was used by somebody else who put their shoes. Now, this late in the game, where this contagion is already well known that the virus can stay on objects, inanimate objects, for anywhere up to, 7 days live. And we're still putting shoes from Asian flights where thousands and thousands of people have walked on airplanes where people are sick and coming from Asia and coming from wherever else in the world. Don't just be xenophobic on Asia. This is a worldwide contagion. 25 countries already have people sick. That we are so far behind the curve right now that they're still requiring Americans or anybody traveling in America to take your shoes off and put them in the bins and then contaminate the bin. And then the next time around, somebody else puts it in and carries the virus with them onward. This is unacceptable at this late in the stage when we already know what this does. This is either purposeful or they've completely dropped the ball and there's no oversight on how to control this. And from my own understanding, if they're this behind the curve on it already, we've already lost the battle on how to prepare for this thing, because it's going to sweep the nation just based on putting your shoes in those bins. Please, TSA, clean the bins and disinfect them, or stop taking your shoes off, or do something different, because it's contagion spreading through all the bins that people are going through security check posts. Yeah. And I'll leave it with that note. Thank you so much.
Good point. Thank you, David. And I hope let's stay in close touch, and we'll do this again shortly and as much as we need to.
So. Yeah, and don't give up hope. Please stock. Please get your stuff ready right now. This is going to sweep over so fast, you're going to be totally unprepared. You got to get your stuff ready right now. Please prepare and buy whatever you need for 4 months at least to get us through this time. Thanks so much. David Dubine signing off.
Okay. Talk to you soon, David.
Bye.
Okay, you guys, from that input from David, is pretty intense, and I think what I would say about it is you can do what you can do and not focus on what you can't do, and if you're still in a country that has availability of the things that Dr. Cousins has talked about and Dr. Circus, it's a good time to get a hold of those and take care of yourself, keep yourself in as good shape, and remember, if it's anything like some of the previous engineered outbreaks that were biologically created viruses, and it turned out that they were in fact able to be overcome with natural remedies, nanosilver 10 parts per million, as we mentioned, and the government agreed with that. It was just hidden, but they totally agreed, and they did the test to confirm it with Ebola. It may well be applicable with this particular virus too, as unnatural as it is. And iodine, Dr. Cousins thinks that's very important. People are talking about vitamins A and C and K and E and D, and vitamin D is critical for the immune system. If you're not getting a lot of natural sunlight, D3, they're talking about, Dr. Cousins and Dr. Group and all the other really honest, informed doctors that are not, you know, into the drug cult would tell us the same things. And I think it's really important to pay attention to that. If you're working within the power structure, remember that informed consent is active all the time. It doesn't get canceled in emergencies. If you're told to use a certain thing that's good for you, a medicine or a food or something, take a look at what's in it. You know, even most doctors don't do that. And you need to learn to know what's going into your body and start. This would be a good time to stop doing things that hurt you and to start learning about which is which. If you stop the self-harmful habits now, which we're talking a lot about those on Planetary Healing Club specifically, and how to change your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, all these levels of your consciousness and your body, the information is being censored and banned, as it was in Samoa when they forced everybody to do things against their free will just to get the money for a measles outbreak that could have been handled by natural means very easily. And even though this is an unnatural release, can't hurt to try the things that have worked on all the other ones so far. It's just hard to get the information. So if you want to join us on Planetary Healing Club, we got meetings half an hour after Lost Arts Radio Live ends each week. It's a miracle that we're still on live streaming on some of these big platforms, but don't count on it. Watch for us on Brighteon and all the other places so we don't lose touch, and especially planetaryhealingclub.com. That's the access point. Small dues to be in that group, but they go to support our nonprofit. We don't have any commercials, so we're just totally dependent on that and the very few private sessions that I have time to do, that I'm still happy to do when I can for the people that need it. Email me about that, richard@lostartsradio.com, and check out Planetary Healing Club, where we can talk about all these things in much more depth without worry about being censored. And that's planetaryhealingclub.com. I may not be able to keep telling you about that, so you may want to write that down. All these things are being censored more and more in the whole Western world and the rest of the world. I mean, forget it. They're already violently suppressed. The interviews with Francis Boyle, who's a really honest and brave scientist, are blackballed all over the major media. But we've posted them on lostartsradio.com. Get them there and share them. They need to get to the U.S. president, because he's being surrounded by people who want his destruction. And he doesn't apparently know the difference. He keeps trusting them as his advisors and suffering for it. All the natural, I can't say the full name of this site because it's one of those forbidden things to say, but the first word is natural and the word after that you can say is news, and it's at a .com site. You can go to their, all their articles, which have been banned on all the major platforms, need to be shared and sent to the U.S. president and other people that need real information like that. Get the U.S. president's mailing address, because apparently he tries to read every bit of his own mail that he can. He really is interested in what citizens individually are thinking, and he stays up late reading those things. What the bottom line, I think, is on all this is take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally. They're all connected. There's no way you can substitute an injection or a drug from getting back in touch with your normal state, learning how to take care of yourself without high-tech anything. And a lot of it is non-physical level stuff that affects your body immediately. And if you grasp the importance of that, try to join us on planetaryhealingclub.com. We're not going to change our plans. If we get enough money, we're still going to build a school where these things can be demonstrated in person, live on the ground. But until then, we'll do what we can online. And Planetary Healing Club is going to be one of the last holdouts of open discussion on full depth of this stuff. I've been researching a lot of this health and consciousness related stuff for more than 50 years, and I'll share everything I've got with you, and you can share your part too. And we'll meet you there, planetaryhealingclub.com. People that are already signed up, we meet in half an hour. And I just want all of us to be okay. That's really simple. So whatever we can share in that venue, we're going to do it. And as long as we're still online, you know, on the air, on these major platforms, we'll use it as much as we can. We're not against the censors. We want them to be okay too. We have nobody we hate at all. If you are working on the censorship, really think about what you're doing, because you want to look back on your life and see that you used this time as well as you can for the benefit of other beings of all kinds, whether they agree with you or not. Doesn't matter. This is time for unconditional support and love for each other. And that's what I recommend. I don't know if this is our last ability to talk to you on the major platforms or not, but if it is, that's the message. Take care of yourself. And that's the way to help the world. And if you want a surviving platform of discussion where we can go much deeper into how to do that, planetaryhealingclub.com. And those of you who want to do that, I'll see you in half an hour. The rest of you, have a great week. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself first, because that allows you to help everybody else. And hope everything goes well this week, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you in a while.